Psalms 103, let's look at it. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for your word and how it strengthens us, it renews us, it encourages us, it gives us hope to continue. And I pray, Father, that our theme this year is one word, just continue. And Father, there's so many times we fail to continue in so many areas of our Christian life. But I pray that tonight we would continue this one practice that is often forgotten. And Father, I pray that you bless, I pray that you'd encourage your people. And I pray when the last amen is said that we would say in our hearts, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we ask this now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been so excited that you couldn't contain yourself? I mean, you ever see your kids? I mean, our granddaughter, Abby, she's 6 years old. When she gets excited, she talks really fast. And not only does she talk real fast, she talks real loud. And you can tell when she gets really excited. She gets all tangled up in her words. And it's just so funny. You could say, man, she's excited. And we all get, maybe, you know, we talk with our hands or something. Or maybe we get real nervous. Or maybe somebody might just, you might just cry. You know, I'm not sure what takes place in your life just emotionally when you get excited. I think of our granddaughter, Avonlea. She's our youngest granddaughter. And she's, I think she's 3 right now. Maybe not. My wife will correct me. But she's good at doing that, and just like the Lord. But I think she's 2 or 3. Honestly, I can't remember how old she is right now. It's not my notes. Amen. But when she was about 6 months old, we had a family vacation, and we were over in the desert. And one of our traditions as a family is that I make chocolate shakes almost every night of our vacation. Now, I make the world's greatest chocolate shakes. Now, the world, when I'm talking about the world's greatest, I mean, not the kind that you suck through a straw. But my chocolate shakes are so thick and so chocolatey, okay, you have to use a spoon to enjoy the shake. And so we just say, hey, kids, how many of you want chocolate shakes? Oh, Dad, you make them, you make them. So I made my chocolate shakes. We're passing them out, and everybody's sitting down there enjoying. They got their spoon, and, you know, they're eating those chocolate shakes. And all of a sudden, Jeremy, my son-in-law, he grabbed Avonlea. She was about 5 or 6 months old, And they sat in the chair together, and Jeremy got his spoon out and ready to kind of take a bite of his chocolate shake. Now, at that time, Avonlea, really, her taste buds haven't experienced, all right, all the good stuff that we're able to enjoy, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? And so Jeremy thought, well, why don't we examine and give it a try to see if she likes this chocolate shake? So he got a little bit on her spoon and kind of gave it to Avonlea, and boy, her face just lit up, and she got excited. She started kind of waving her arms like this. And so Jeremy went back in, and then he wanted to get a bite. But she got her little hand onto his hand and just kind of guided that right to her mouth. It's amazing how she devoured that chocolate shake. And Jeremy, poor Jeremy, he still hasn't got a chocolate shake because Avonlea ate it all up. Man, she got so excited about that. In a sense, that's where David's at in this psalm. David was so overwhelmed with joy and gratitude for all that God had done for him. He was so excited that he pens these words. He says in verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Did you ever just kind of eat something, it was so good, and you said, oh my soul, that was good. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not really sure how that... Why do we say it like that? But it was an expression that we say, man, that was good. Oh, my soul, give me another scoop of that. Or let me have some more of that because it was so good. And David is saying, God, you are so good. Bless my soul. You are good. And I believe that as Christians, we forget to praise God. Now, we may praise God, maybe on the basketball court. You know, we make a shot and someone says, good shot. As we're running back to defense, we'll say, praise the Lord. Or, we might be golfing and we hit a shot and it's a good shot. And someone says, good shot. We try to be spiritual. Well, praise the Lord. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't think God really cares about my golf shot or my basketball shot. I don't think God cares. And sometimes even a church house, we might say, praise the Lord. And we ought to. Now, here it is. Do you praise the Lord when you're all alone? Do you take time in your prayer closet to just get happy in the Lord? Where your soul is overwhelmed with God's goodness and His blessings upon your life, that it just kind of oozes out and you just start clapping your hands, or you might just start crying and you might just shout to God, bless God, oh my soul, all that's within me. Bless His holy name. God, you are so good. Well, the Bible says in Psalms 150, verse number 6, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now, I'm not sure how you came in here tonight. You might have come in here tonight beaten, knocked down, and discouraged, and even defeated. But let me ask you a question. Are you breathing tonight? Now, if your neighbor's not breathing right now, let's call 911, okay? So if you're breathing tonight, listen, the Bible says if you have breath, are you breathing tonight? Listen, we are candidates then of praising God. Now, I know you have trials. I know you have burdens. I know you have heartaches. I know you're carrying a load. But listen, the Bible says let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now let's look at three reminders that will help us to keep on praising Him. First of all, our commitment to praise. Our commitment to praise. And verse number one, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless His name. But praise requires preparation. Our hearts are ever inclined to deadness and coldness and must be stirred to properly take up praise. If David knew anything, David was the student of the heart. And we all should be. Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And David was one that studied his own heart. And so before he offers one word of praise, he begins to stir his heart. If you want me to say, he begins preaching to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless His name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The motivation of our praise. Why should we be committed in praising God? Why should we do that? Why should we have that time, carve that time out where we get along with God and we just praise Him and thank Him and worship Him and clap our hands and say, God, you are good. Why should we do that? Hey, listen, because God is awesome. God is awesome. And I know we always, that's awesome and this is awesome, but may I say this? God is awesome. The Bible says in Psalms 150, verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. As we think about this, we ought to praise Him for His attributes. We need to just kind of take a step back and we need to reflect on who God is. Now we're going to look at four of His alls, A-L-L-S. In other words, God is all about these four alls, okay? Number one is this, He's omnipresent. What does that mean? He is all present. He's all present. How many of you like to play hide and go seek? Now that's one of our, see, it's one of our family, we played last week. And I'll be honest with you, I'm one of the best hiders, to be quite honest with you. I'm kind of humble about it, but I am. It takes them forever to find me. But we love playing hide-and-go-seek. And now, when you're playing hide-and-go-seek with our grandkids, what you have to do, you first of all have to hide them. All right, so you have to find a spot for them so you can find your spot. And so a lot of times what happens is this, is I'll hide them, and then they'll kind of follow me and hide where I'm hiding. And so I said, now, Allie, go back where you're supposed to go. I already hid you once. Get over there. Poppy's got to hide. And so I try to hide. And, you know, the kids go searching, looking for you. And, you know, after a while, they finally find you. Well, the other day we were playing, and I had this great idea how I was going to hide Allie. And so we have a downstairs kind of a guest room, and has a bunch of pillows. And, I mean, I got like 15,000 pillows on this bed. And so I said, Allie, you climb behind those pillows, and I'll put the pillows on you. And I said, listen, don't move. Don't make a sound. No, normally they don't. They start giggling, laughing after a couple minutes. Then, I'm in here. But she was quiet. And man, her auntie Kaylin, you know, Jacob's wife, and boy, you know, she found me, and she found Abby, and she found everybody except Allie. Thank you, Mrs. Downey. Stay out of my preaching, okay? She couldn't find Allie. And Allie was, and she kept on looking and looking and looking. Couldn't find her. You want to know something? We can't play hide and go seek with God. You know, we go try to hide over here, and God says, you know what? I'm already there. How you doing? He goes, we tried to hide over here. Oh, we tried to hide behind the fig tree. And God says, I'm there too. What does the Bible say in Psalms 139? Look what the Bible says. Whether I should go from thy presence, from thy spirit, whether I should flee from thy presence, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I may make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Listen, God is everywhere. You can't hide from God. You know what? We can rejoice in that. You're never alone. He's always there. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But not only is God, listen, all present, but he's also omniscient. God knows all, all-knowing. He knows everything. Hey, God, have you ever? Yes, he has considered that. God knows it all. He even knows the numbers of hair upon your head. God knows it all. He knows your thoughts. He knows the beginning to the end. And God knows everything in between. He's all-knowing. The Bible says in Psalms 139, 1 and 2, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Listen, God knows you. He knows your trials. He knows your heartaches. He knows your fears. Listen, God knows everything about you. Hey, we can rest in that. We can rejoice in that. Hey, God knows where I'm at. Hey, God hasn't forgotten about you. You know, so many times we pray and we ask God to intervene and work, and we think, you know, God, you hear me? Yes, he does. He knows your pain. He knows your struggles. God's all-knowing. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Hey, he knows your thoughts. God is all-present. God is all-knowing. And God is omnipotent. God's all-powerful. God's all-powerful. In Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Let me ask you, what do you need God to do for you? What is that burden you're trying to carry? What's that difficulty you're facing right now? What's that heartache? Listen, God has his strength, his power for you. But not only is God all-present and God's all-knowing, God's all-powerful, but God also is all-loving. The Bible says in 1 John 4, he says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God is love. Listen, I remember in school when I was back in college years ago, I remember one of our professors said this, since God knows what's best, and God, since he's all powerful, he can do what's best, and because God is a God of love, he will do what's best. And we can trust him. So I'm not sure what you're carrying today. But listen, you can praise him. Because he knows, he can, and because of his love, he will. We praise him because of his attributes. We praise him for his actions. The Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. How many of you have a quick wick? You have a short temper? Don't raise your hand, okay? All right? We might say that. But here it is. God is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. And Peter, he says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. We should praise God because of his actions. Psalms 150, verse number 2, praise him for his mighty acts. In Ephesians 2, and verse number 4, the Bible says, for God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen, the motivation of our praise is because of who he is. Now let's look at the measure of our praise. Psalms 103, verse number 1 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Now we might think modest praise is better than no praise at all. Let me say that again. We might think modest praise is better than no praise at all. But that's not true. Modest, formal, lifeless praise is a very insult to God. You think about it for a minute. Have you ever done something half-heartedly, then after you did it, you took a step back and said, you know what? I could have done better. I didn't give it my best. How many parents have sat down with their kids and maybe report card time, or maybe you gave them a chore to clean out the garage or pick the weeds or clean up the backyard or put their toys away or clean their room, and you pulled your kids in and you say, now kids, now look at what you just did. Was that your best? Could you have done better? Now we're not looking for a perfection here, but we're just asking a simple question. Was that your best? And so many times their response is, no, Mom. No, Dad, I could do a whole lot better. Now let me ask you a question. How have you been praising God? Have you been praising God half-heartedly? Have your praise been lifeless? Has your praise been kind of cold? Or has your praise been genuine from your heart? David said this, all that's within me, praise the Lord. The psalmist is crying out in great joy, for he was consumed with the goodness and the greatness of his God. Can I say this? We serve the same God. And God has not changed. You know, even Psalms 42, I don't know if it's in your notes, but if it's not, just turn there real quick. Psalms 42 and verse number 5. Now, at times we're going to face some discouragement. How many of you have ever been discouraged before? All right. Just make sure every hand goes up, okay? Yeah. I think we all have been, okay? We've all faced kind of discouragement. And we face it. But look what the psalmist said in Psalms 42, verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God? For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Can I encourage you? When you face some difficulties, when you face a trial, look for God in the midst of that storm. He's there. Oh, when the disciples were in the middle of the ocean there, and as they were rolling in that boat was just tossed to and fro. The lightning was shooting across the sky. Guess what? Jesus saw them. Oh, when the three Hebrew children were in the midst of the fire, guess who was with them? There's a fourth person in that furnace. I'm not sure what you're going through, but let me tell you something. He's there. And his countenance, listen, once you see him, his countenance is going to strengthen you. It's going to rejoice you. It's just like a child. When a child has a nightmare and they come running into your room, and as soon as they see you, your countenance brings what? Joy to them. Can I encourage you, keep looking in your trial for God's hand. Not only should we see our commitment to praise, but also our consistent practice, our consistent press. How can we be consistent? You know, consistency is so hard, isn't it? I mean, we could be up one day, but man, down the next. But how can we be consistent? The Bible says in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. And I think here's the secret. And forget not all his benefits. We need, number one, we need to remember your blessings. You know, there's a song in our hymn book, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Listen, you'd be amazed what God has done. Just remember your blessings. Oh, the Bible says in Psalm 77, verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Psalm 78, and forget, let's say, and forget his works and his wonders that he has showed them. Marvelous things that he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Listen, we just need to remember. We need to take a step back, and just remember his blessings. And that's why one of the reasons why I love leadership conference and anniversary conference, because we're able just to stop a moment and we're able to reflect back of God's goodness and rejoice about the lives that have been changed and the lives have been rescued and see God's victories in people's life. And we can stand back and say, God, you've been so good to us. And we sing the song sometimes, Ain't God Good? Listen, God is good. But the reason why we forget about his goodness is because we don't remember. We're so busy. We're so focused on, tackling that next project or moving forward, taking that next step, that we fail to remember God's been so good to us right now. Now, yes, we ought to be moving forward. We ought to be pressing on, yes. And we need to be continuing. But listen, we ought to be continuing with joy in our hearts because what God has already done. And that we believe that he wants to continue to do what he has already done, but just more of it. But we need to remember his blessings. But number, letter B there, we need to rest in his blessings. We need to rest in his blessings. The Bible says, and forget not all his benefits. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 19, bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. All right, now listen, okay? Now some of you are a little bit discouraged tonight. Some of you are a little bit, the weight of the world is on your shoulders. All right, how are we going to lift that up? I'll tell you how. It's God's word. Amen? All right, so let's look at this verse and let's all say it together as a church. Ready? Psalm 68, 19. Ready? Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I don't know about you. How many like going to buffets? Come on, raise your hand if you like going to buffets. All right? How many of you don't like to go to buffets? All right, a couple of you? Okay. Brother Art, come on. The proof is in the pudding, brother. All right? You go to the buffets and there's certain areas that you want to say, hey, keep loading it up. Keep putting it in there. Not too long ago, we went to one of our men in our church, we went to a Korean barbecue, all you can eat. Oh, praise the Lord. And now I'm not really a super big eater. I get filled up too quickly. Maybe I eat too fast. I'm not really sure. But I really don't get my money's worth at these buffets. But man, we went to this Korean barbecue. And I'll tell you what, we ordered and they brought the food. And before we even started putting it, because you kind of grill it yourself right there in front of you. Before we even started, the guy that I was with, I won't tell you who he is, because it embarrassed me a little bit. He said, now bring another portion. And I'm thinking, shouldn't say his name. I said, man, we haven't eaten this yet. He said, well, bring it. And so the lady brought some more. And he said, well, I'll bring some of this out. And he started ordering all this food. And we didn't even start cooking the first stuff yet. And our whole table's full of this food. And I'm thinking, there's no way that the two of us are going to eat all this. Man, we just started cooking. We started eating and eating and eating. I'm telling you what, we devoured it. And he said, well, let's get some more. And guess what? They loaded up again. God's word says, daily he loadeth his benefits in our lives. Daily. My question is this, in reality, how could we be discouraged? Now, I know life is tough. I know we have heartaches. I know we have burdens. I know we have trials. I know we have disappointments. We have fears. I know that. But listen, God loadeth us up daily with his benefits. Here it is. You know what we need to do? We need to get our minds and our eyes off of ourselves. And we need to lift him up and look towards heaven. And we just need to say like David, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. God is good. Now, number three, let's look at this and we'll close. Our constant promises. Aren't you thankful for God's promises? Huh? He kind of rapid fires right through these benefits. Man, you almost want to take really just 15 minutes on each one. Amen. One liar, okay, all right. The rest of you are just quiet, inwardly lying. No, not 15 seconds. Okay. Look what the Bible says, verse number 3. You need some encouragement? Okay, drink this in right now, okay? Here it is. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Hey, listen. Brother Clark, not some of your iniquities. Not some of them. Not most of them. He forgives all. How much does he forgive?
All.
How much?
All
thine iniquities. Hey, listen. All my iniquities, God has forgiven me. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're carrying tonight. I'm not sure what burden you're carrying tonight. But listen. Hey, God forgiveth all thy iniquities. Now think about it. Think about it. It was just some of our iniquities. You know, the Bible says this. Even if you had just one. In James chapter number 2, verse number 10, the Bible says if you kept the law but you broke it one part, you're guilty of all. Listen, God forgives all thy iniquities. He forgives us. In Psalms 32, verse 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And then the Bible says, not only does he forgives, then it says he heals all thy diseases. He heals us. The psalmist is not talking about healing the physical body here, but the healing of the soul. Henry Mahan wrote this, "The disease of this body are the results of sin, and God will heal them when it is according to his will and when it serves his purpose. But the diseases referred to here are spiritual diseases, which, like our sins, are all healed in Christ. He bore all our spiritual sickness and diseases in his body on the tree, and by his sufferings we are healed forever." In Psalms 30, verse number 2, "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, thou hast healed me." There's only one that can heal the person's soul, and that is the great physician, Jesus Christ. So not only does he forgive us, and not only does he heal us, but he redeems us. Look at verse number 4. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Redemption from destruction. I'm not sure exactly when David penned this psalm here. Maybe it was shortly after a brush with death. If this was the case, he did not attribute it to luck or to good fortune or to his, you know, military prowess. No, but to the goodness of God. He redeems us. Psalms 34, verse number 22, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Not only does he redeem us, but also he crowns us. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Now look at his kindness. Not only does it just say he crowns us with kindness, but it's loving kindness. Sometimes it's hard just to be kind, especially to unruly people, especially people on the freeway. I mean, sometimes, you know, they kind of rush and get ahead of you. It's just like you want to kind of beep your horn, and you get frustrated at times. And the other day I was kind of backing out of my driveway, and I'm pulling out, and I kind of had to back up again to turn, this lady came by in a white, you know, minivan, you know, family vehicle. And boy, I'm backing up, and she's just looking at me and like, "Get out of my way." And I thought, maybe she just has a burden. You know, maybe she's just having a hard day. So, I didn't beat my horn, and, I just kind of smiled, and grace-filled reaction. The next day, I had to do the same thing. And guess what? That lady did the exact, she just in perfect timing. I'm trying to maneuver my truck, and she's coming around, and she didn't let me back up. She's looking at me like, "Get out of my way." I mean, whoa. You know, what was my response? Man, I started laying down my horn. No, I didn't do that. But it was hard to be kind the second time. But here, he crowns us with loving kindness. He crowns us with his mercy. And then he satisfies us. Look what the Bible says in verse 5, "Who satisfy thy mouth with good things." All the Bible says, "For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Are you hungry tonight? I'm not talking about physical food. But are you starving spiritually? Are you allowing the cares of this world to strangle you, defeat you? Listen, you need to partake of his word. He'll satisfy you. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And then lastly, he renews us. so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. As we get more mature, as we would politely say, or as we get older, you realize that you don't have the strength that you once had. You just don't have that energy, you know, that you had, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But here it is. When we praise Him, the Bible says we can be renewed in our spirit. And we could be like a Caleb, a Joshua, a David, where they're renewed. And they have the strength and the energy of the youth. Now, you're not going to be able to carry your burdens and your disappointments and your problems with you. You got to leave them at the altar. And as you do that, God will renew us. Tonight, have you forgotten this practice of praising God?